Welcome into a brand new episode of Bottom Line Baseball. Joining us today, the one, the only, Mr. Tim Kirchen. Tim, thanks so much for taking the time today to come on Bottom Line Baseball. It's one of the most craziest years, first month into the season. What's your first reaction so far to the 2021 baseball season?
Well, it has been one of the wackiest seasons I've ever seen already. And we're only a month into it. And this is why baseball is so great. So many things have happened already this year that just make guys like me put our hands over our eyes and wonder how in the world could that have happened? Whether it's Yermín Mercedes going 5 for 5 in his first major league start. And there are 100 things just like that. But I think the overwhelming trend in April was, and Jackson will really appreciate this given his father, grandfather is Nolan Ryan. We had 1,092 more strikeouts than hits in the month of April. That is a stunning, unprecedented number. And I must say, it worries me a little bit that there are that many more strikeouts than hits. And we all know where the strikeouts are coming from. Our pitchers today have the most ungodly stuff I've ever seen. It's not even close how many guys throw this hard compared to 10, 20, 30, even 40 years ago. It's amazing the secondary pitches these guys have. And it worries me a little bit that with the approach of our hitters, let's try to get the ball up in the air and hit the ball out of the ballpark. They've lost the value of the hit because they're just not getting very many of them anymore. And it's mostly in part because the pitching is this good, but it's time for our hitters to make an adjustment and say, I can't hit this guy tonight. He's better than me. I'm going to have to figure out another way to put a ball in play.
Tim, you touched on it, but we're only 1 month into the season plus a couple of days. Which team has been the biggest surprise and which team has been the biggest disappointment so far a month in the season?
Well, the Twins are the biggest disappointment. That team has been really good for several years and they're off to an atrocious start. They just haven't pitched at all. And even though with their lineup, they still scored their share of runs, that just doesn't look like the same team that we watched last year. Kenta Maeda was second in the Cy Young voting last year, hasn't been close to the same this year. So that's probably the biggest disappointment. As far as surprises go, I mean, we have several of them, but the Royals have to be the biggest surprise so far, because even though I thought they would be much improved, I just didn't see them being this good this early. Danny Duffy has allowed 2 earned runs the entire season. He's been great. They pitched very well. With the additions they made, they've scored some runs. So there have been some real surprise teams out there. The Giants, of course, the Red Sox, of course. But I didn't see the Royals leading this division, a division with the Indians and the Twins and the White Sox on May the 2nd. But that's where we are.
Tim, this doesn't really go into the amount of strikeouts the game saw in the month of April and into early May, but do you think the quote-unquote dead-end baseball that was talked about in the offseason is playing more of an effect in just the lower offensive numbers we've seen so far?
Well, it's a little too early to tell, but just my eyes tell me the ball is not traveling as far as it did last year. Now, of all the players I've talked to, half of them say I can tell a difference. The other half says I can't tell any difference at all. And before the season began, we talked to Major League Baseball officials who told us basically a ball that traveled 400 feet last year will travel 398 feet this year. That is not a big difference. But I'm going to take the high road here and think that deadening the baseball might be a good thing for baseball. Look, we have too many walks, we have too many strikeouts and too many homers, and they're all hooked. So all of our little middle infielders, and there aren't many little guys in the game today, but when they start hitting 20 home runs a year, they start getting it in their heads, I'm a home run hitter. And that's why the strikeout rate has raised. So maybe if the ball is indeed deadened, some of those guys who aren't home run hitters say, all right, the ball's not traveling. So what do I have to do to be a better player? Maybe I have to put the ball in play more often. Maybe I have to hit a hard ground ball over there, or even, you know, bunt a ball to move a guy around. That's what I think we need in the game. We need fewer homers, fewer walks, fewer strikeouts, and maybe, hopefully, a deadened ball might lead to that.
Tim, it's early part of May, and minor league baseball obviously didn't happen last year. How important and vital is it to the game to have minor league baseball season this year?
Well, it's critical. Minor league baseball is the lifeblood to the major leagues. It is the feeder system, and it worries me terribly that we have cut out 42 teams in the offseason. It saddens me terribly. We've taken leagues that have been around forever and now they no longer exist. And it worries me that last year, it's possible Major League Baseball would say, look, we had a pretty good year and we didn't even play minor league baseball. It's not that important. And yet it is. This is the hardest game in the world to play. I will argue it with anyone. And the only way to get ready to play in the big leagues is to play competitive games in the minor leagues. That's where you learn the game. And without a minor league season last year, that worries me tremendously. But let's hope we play this year. Let's hope we play, you know, without too many interruptions and things go well, because that's what the big leagues needs. They need that feeder system to provide players and players who are ready to go when they get to the big leagues, because it's different playing a minor league game than it is playing an inter-squad game at an alternate site.
What's your favorite thing about minor league baseball?
Well, I just love how much that minor league team means to that little town, wherever it is. And that's what really kills me is there have only been a few, but a few minor league towns, cities have lost their minor league teams. Look, those people are so proud of the fact that we saw Mike Trout play here when he was 18 years old. I remember I covered minor league baseball for 2 years in Alexandria, Virginia, at the worst, dinkiest little Class A ballpark you can possibly imagine. But it really taught me the importance of minor league baseball. I saw Julio Franco come through there as a 17-year-old shortstop for the Phillies, and I thought, look at this guy. He weighs 160 pounds and he's hitting rocket shots to right center field. That's what minor league baseball provides, not only really affordable and fun entertainment to those cities, not to mention the economic benefits, but it allows those fans to say, yeah, we saw that guy. He came through here in, you know, 1991. That really means something to fans of minor league baseball. And that's why I hope we understand we can't lose that as an entity. It's that important.
Tim, you talked about the feeder system going up and how important that is. What can MLB do to make sure kids continue to play the game of baseball through little league, middle school, high school, and the college and pro ball and not go off to football or basketball?
Yeah, and that's what's happened with a lot of kids. I think we're starting to make a comeback because let's face it, guys, I'm sure you played as a kid and, you know, you show up for a baseball game and you strike out three times, get hit by a pitch, play right field, don't get one ball, and you go home saying, that wasn't any fun at all. I didn't do anything well today. That's how hard the game is to play. And this is why I think baseball needs to make sure on the lowest level, God bless our coaches who are teaching our kids, we need to make it as fun as possible. We need to move them along slowly so they don't get hit in the lips with a ball because they're not coming back the next day after that happens. We have to allow them to have some success in the game, even if it means using a much softer baseball for a young kid. So if it does hit him, it's not going to send him away from the game. And we need to acknowledge that the Aaron Judges of the world and some of our great African-American players chose baseball over other sports they could have played. I mean, that's really important. Patrick Mahomes could have been a really good baseball player and a really good basketball player, but he chose football. The fact that some of our guys are choosing baseball now is a really good thing.
You mentioned it, but also just the excitement around the future of the game. We're seeing it with the younger players right now, Fernando Tatis Jr., and that excitement level. We're seeing it now a little bit over the weekend with Amir Garrett. Once he struck out Rizzo, had that excitement. Do you like that component of that in the game of baseball, or do you want to see more of a dialed down tone in the game?
Well, first off, I have never, over the last 10 years, seen an influx of this many great young players, starting with Trout and Harper and going all the way through from Acuna Jr. to Tatis Jr. It is breathtaking to watch these young players play. They are so big. They are so fast. They are so strong. They are so unbelievably skilled. They just overpower the game with their physical gifts. So that's the great thing. And that's why we shouldn't be worried about baseball. We've never seen this many great players like we're seeing right now. But it does worry me a little bit. And again, I'm 64 years old. I grew up in a time where when you struck somebody out, you just walked into the dugout and didn't say a word. When you hit a home run, you put your head down and ran around the bases. We don't do that anymore. And I've made the adjustment. Believe me, I'm okay with bat flips. I'm okay with celebrations after a walk-off homer. I'm okay with a lot of stuff. I'm even okay if you want to thump your chest after striking somebody out in a big situation. But Jose Alvarado pointed right at Dom Smith. And Amir Garrett, I think, just made it a little bit too personal here. And I'm just not in favor of that. It is not necessary when we're talking about two sub-500 teams playing a game on May the 1st. We have to act like we've been there before a little bit more often. I'm not trying to take the personality or the excitement out of the game, but pick your spots and leave the other team alone, because all you're going to do is anger them, and they're going to come back and get you someday. Celebrate on your own and don't rub it in to another player, because he will have his revenge, I promise you.
Tim, kind of going off of that, and this after this year having the CBA kind of be not available, how can MLB and the Players Association make sure we get a new agreement to not have a lockdown or a strike?
Jackson, this is absolutely critical. And we've had a meeting now already we should have had multiple meetings between the players and the owners. Look, after these last 2 years, it was a miracle we got through last year with COVID. This is a COVID-affected season, and we're all going to breathe a giant sigh of relief if we all play 162 and get through it without any major health concerns. But you can't follow two seasons like this and then say, okay, we're not going to play in 2022 because we can't figure out how to get to a CBA. Something has to get done. This is not a good time for baseball to have a work stoppage of any kind. Look, I covered the 81 strike. Oh my God, that was so bad. Jackson, I watched your dad strike out Pete Rose three times in 81. And then the strike started the next day. I was at that game in Philadelphia, and the strike began the next day, and it was awful. The 94 strike was awful. We cannot afford anything like that again. And the Tom Glavins of the world in 2000, when another CBA came up, and he basically told everyone in the room, we're not going to let this happen again. We can't let this happen again. And that's how baseball needs to look at this heading to the December 1st deadline on the CBA. The game cannot handle a work stoppage of any sort. These two have to show some compatibility and get something done. I'm praying every day it happens.
A follow-up to that, Tim, is it possible that they can come to an agreement to just extend this CBA for one more season to get through a, because I would assume next year wouldn't be quote-unquote a COVID season. Is that a possibility, or is this going to be a long-term CBA agreement?
Well, I guess an extension is a possibility. At this point, anything is possible. But just delaying something probably isn't a great idea. And it just worries me that the union has it on its mind that they got beaten badly on the last CBA. We hear that all the time. The owners won the last time. And players being competitive, they're going to say, well, we have to win this time and we're going to hold out for everything that we can get. So yes, an extension would make sense because we need to get back to a traditional non-COVID affected season. And if we can get that next year, I'll take a one-year extension. But if we're just delaying the inevitable, we need to get down to some really difficult work and some difficult decisions and find a way for both sides to come to an agreement.
Well, Tim, this is our favorite part of the show. It's a fast five quick round, as you know. So it's just five quick questions. I'll ask the first one, then Jackson will ask the second one, and we'll go back and forth. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. What is your biggest pet peeve?
I think when you bat around, you have to have somebody bat twice in one inning. To me, that's batting around, okay? Also, it's RBIs, not RBI. Little tiny things. RBI is not wrong. I'm just telling you, it bugs me. It's like POWs. No one ever says, 100 POW came home from World War II. So it's RBIs. I don't think there's anything as a complete game shutout. I think it's redundant. So let's just call it a shutout. Walter Johnson threw 113 shutouts. We don't have to say complete game shutouts. And last thing, and I am really going to act like a pedantic little twit here, but the thing you wear on your hand during a game is a glove. Okay. Unless you're the catcher or the first baseman, that they wear a mitt because it doesn't have fingers in it, but a glove, just like a glove you wear, a winter glove has fingers. Therefore, the shortstop wears a glove. The catcher and the first baseman wear a mitt. How bad is that?
What about the MLB? Does that bother you?
I had this discussion the other day. Grammatically, it's just not correct. We can just call it MLB because the Major League Baseball, I don't think it's necessary. Although we do say the NFL and the NBA and all that, but I think we can drop the and we'd be fine.
All right, Tim, what is your favorite game you've been a part of?
Well, there are a million of those, Jackson, but I'll say the 91 Game 7 of the World Series, Jack Morris against John Smoltz. Two teams that had finished in last place the year before go to Game 7 of the World Series. Jack Morris wins 1-0, completing the best World Series that I've ever covered. It was remarkable. Tom Kelly, the manager, came to take Jack Morris out of that game. And Morris said, I'm not coming out of the game. And Randy Bush, one of the Twins, told me after the game, if they had tried to take Jack Morris out of the game, it would have been the first time in history that the starting pitcher killed his manager on the mound because Jack Morris wasn't coming out of that game. It was a remarkable night at the Metrodome. I'll never forget it the rest of my life.
What is your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, God. I am the single worst singer on the face of the earth. The only thing I do worse than singing is dancing, okay? I am more wooden than Pinocchio, trust me. And my son, who can play the piano and he can sing and he's so talented, and my daughter, who's like the greatest artist in the world, my mother used to hang my artwork on the inside of the refrigerator. It's amazing how bad I am at so many things. So there is zero chance that I am going to go sing karaoke at any point, even after several beers, which is never a good idea anyway. So I have no karaoke song because I can't sing anything.
What is your most embarrassing moment?
Well, I covered the Rangers in from 1982 through 85, and Larry Parrish, their star right fielder, missed a game. And I asked Doug Rader, where's LP? And he goes, well, He won't be here today. He's going to miss the game. His wife had a baby. So I have to put it in my Ranger notes in the Dallas Morning News because I have to acknowledge why Larry Parrish isn't here, but congratulations, his wife had a baby. So I asked Doug Rader, who is the most mischievous man in the world, okay, boy or girl? He said, it's a boy. I said, his name? He goes, his name is Buford. So I said, Doug, come on, nobody names their son Buford. He goes, well, that's the boy's name. So I write in the paper that Buford Parrish was born. And the next day, Larry Parrish shows up. He calls me to the side and he goes, Tim, the boy's name ain't Buford. So Doug Rader, I went to him and said, I cannot believe that you told me his name was Buford. You swore to me his name was Buford. He goes, I can't believe that you believed me. So the interesting part about that, Josh is his name. And every time Josh used to get in trouble as a kid, his dad used to say, Buford, you know you're not supposed to do that. So I kind of gave accidentally a nickname to someone who didn't need it and didn't deserve it.
Oh, man, that's a great story. That's great. And then the last one for the Fast Five, who is one person in the sports industry, the broadcasting journalists that you haven't been able to work with that you've always wanted to work with?
Well, I would like to meet, well, I'm going way off topic here, but I really need to meet Larry Bird someday. Larry Bird is like one of the greatest basketball players I've ever seen. I just so totally admired the way that he grew up playing and what a great player he was. And I love basketball. It's my only hobby that I really have. So I would like to meet Larry Bird. I would like to go to a gym with him and just shoot around with him for a half an hour and just talk to him about what a great player he was and how he did this and how he did that. So that's not technically working with somebody, but I like to keep basketball as my hobby. I don't want it to be my profession because I want to enjoy it as a fan. And if I could meet one basketball player, it would be Larry Bird. So just so I could meet him and discuss him. I used to play basketball with a guy years ago, played with him every day. And I finally said to him, who are you and where are you from? He goes, I'm from French Lick, Indiana. I said, what? I said, have you ever met Larry Bird? He goes, well, of course I have. I said, have you ever played with Larry Bird? He goes, of course I have. That would be like the greatest thing ever, to play in a pickup game with Larry Bird in his prime. I can't even imagine how much better he would make everybody on the court.
And then, Tim, the last question that I have for you, you talked to us before we went on, and you said one of your favorite Nolan Ryan stories. So I'll ask you this on a podcast. What is your favorite Nolan Ryan story?
Well, after he threw his seventh no-hitter, which he did at 44 years old, friends and family wanted him to come out and celebrate with them. And they're all in the hall waiting for Nolan to come out, you know, dressed in his street clothes and celebrate with them. And he kind of walked out in the hall still with his uniform on and said, I got to ride the exercise bike first, because that's what he did after every start. So he rode the exercise bike for 45 minutes. And then he went out and celebrated with his friends and family after throwing a no-hitter at age 44. And the lesson here is, with him, the work always came first. So it's no surprise he's the greatest power pitcher of all time. And he's the greatest strikeout pitcher of all time, because nobody but nobody worked and prepared his craft and his body quite like Nolan Ryan.
Tim, and my final question for you is, if a 15-year-old kid were to come up to you and say, hey, Tim, baseball is boring, I don't really like watching it or playing it, what would you say to that kid to get them interested in the game?
Well, I would tell him that you need to get as close to the field as possible to appreciate what baseball is all about. Our average fan, it's not their fault, has no comprehension of the speed of the ball. I would like every average fan to stand in the batter's box and take one at bat against any pitcher in the major leagues, but preferably Nolan Ryan in his prime. Then they would have an understanding and an appreciation for how quickly that game moves. And then you will have way more respect for the people who play it. And I would like every average fan to stand even with third base in a major league game and let Dave Winfield, Vlad Guerrero, Mike Trout whistle one past your ear. And the first thing you'll say is, get me out of here. This is too dangerous. The separator for baseball for me is the speed of the game is an incomprehensible rate of speed. And the only way to truly appreciate and get to love this game is to first understand how hard it is to play and how quickly that ball moves. And then you wouldn't think it's boring anymore. You would think it's terrifying, not boring.
Well, Tim, we want to say thanks so much for coming on Bottom Line Baseball this morning. Where can people find more Tim Kirchen and read your work with ESPN?
Well, I write for ESPN.com. I've got a story on Willie Mays turning 90 coming out on Thursday. I'm doing baseball tonight every Sunday. I do two games from the booth every week. I have a game tomorrow night, the Astros and the Yankees. I'm on Twitter, but again, I'm 64. I stink at Twitter, so you really shouldn't follow me there because I don't even know how to use it. But I'm around. I'm on the radio a lot, too, but I just like covering baseball. It's the only thing I like. It's the only thing I'm any good at. So don't look for me anywhere else because I don't know anything else.
Well, Tim, thanks so much. You're one of the best, and I appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Jackson. You guys were great. Appreciate it.